Blog Talk Radio.
The Blog Talk Radio Studio for Student to Teacher Show is located in Mesa, Arizona. However, we are broadcasting globally, and we are happy to do it. We just invite everyone, no matter what your language, no matter what your ethnic group, culture, or whatever, call in, chat in. You can use our chat line. You can call in through Skype and just ask, just put in the contact name, Professor.Danita, D-A-N-I-T-A, dot Applewhite. And you will connect with me through Skype. You can do it through a video call if you want to and actually talk to me just like you're sitting right here in the studio. We sure do appreciate all of our callers. Our switchboard is already lighting up and we haven't even introduced what the show is about. But gosh, we appreciate you. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite and we welcome you and we welcome you to this day. You are alive and well. Who is this at 602-418?
Good morning. Good morning. Pleasure to be here with you this morning. I can't wait to hear what's happening.
Wonderful. And who is this calling in, please?
This is Dr. Beverly Holness calling
Dr.
from Phoenix.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, Dr. Holness. We always appreciate your input. This is one of the board members, listeners for White Apple Institute, and she's traveling a lot, so we really appreciate when she can stop a moment to share with us and listen to our show and give some advice to some of the listeners out there. We have some background noise from some of the listeners, so maybe you could mute your phone. We can get a hold of that. We have another caller coming in from a 216 area, 216-276. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Great. And who's calling in, please?
This is Melvina.
Melvina, well, good morning. It's so good to
hear
you.
Good morning, Apple.
Right, and this is a Ohio number, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
yes, ma'am.
We appreciate you calling in and hope that you will enjoy our show today and anything that you can comment on about the great topic we're going to cover today.
I surely will.
Okay. Someone has a lot of background noise, and I just ask that you, because I have a lot of callers on our broadcast line right now. Some of you want to come on live, and some of you don't. Okay. But if you could just mute out that background noise, thank you very much. I can't tell who's doing that, and I'd hate to go through and delete all the switchboard here. Okay, thanks so much. We're going to start off with tips for unemployed and underemployed. And we're talking about students and teachers, but I want you to make sure that you're clear on our purpose here. Remember that students and teachers does not necessarily mean the student who goes to an academic classroom or the teacher who teaches in an academic classroom. Remember that the premise of our show is that everyone is a student. If you receive information, then you are a student, because that's what students do, is they receive information and they process that information in order for them to become sharers, which makes them teachers, because that's what teachers do, is share information. So in some way, somehow, we're all students and teachers, and we appreciate being in that position where we can not only receive knowledge, but share it. And so feel free today to comment on this very, very, serious topic that we're going to be covering today. We have another caller online. Let's go ahead and welcome her in this morning. Good morning. You're calling in from a 480-200 number.
Maria.
Good morning. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Maria. Good morning, Sam.
Yes. Faithful listener we haven't heard from for a while. I hope everything's all right in your life.
Yes.
Great, great. Well, we have a lot of ground to cover today, and we want to make sure that even though this is part one of two, we have information to share on both parts that's really, really critical. I just want to tell you, before I start talking about the tips for unemployed and underemployed students and teachers out there, I wanted to make sure that we're clear on my particular passion. And mine is not necessarily the unemployment. I know that might sound surprising to you, but I'm really more involved, Dr. Polnitz, I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this, but the underemployed. See, now that's a number we don't get very often, okay? Now what do I mean by underemployed, right? Are we all there on the same page with that one? What does underemployed mean? I think it means, because I have so many different students and teachers that come to me with this underemployed issue, is that they're not working at their full potential. In other words, it could be their fault. They could not have chosen the right field. Because many times we go into a career or a job situation without looking at it carefully to analyze, do we really love what we're going to be doing here? Are we really going to enjoy it? Or are we taking it because of the pay? Okay? And usually when we take jobs for the pay, we usually land up very dissatisfied, especially if they start cutting the pay or we lose the job, or the job downsizes into something else and you start getting a lot of different responsibilities you didn't sign up for. But you better not leave, not in this economy. Underemployed is also talking about that person. Maybe they made the right choice in their job or their career, and they're still not living up to their potential within that job because of the economy. And so, therefore, just like many medical assistants is a very, very lucrative field, or it used to be a very lucrative field out there. And now we're finding that medical assistants are working jobs that are just unheard of. They're becoming caregivers and janitorial assistants, housekeepers, and they went to school and worked very hard and long hours to get through a program to become a medical assistant. And now, because the jobs are not flourishing, because of the economy and different reasons, they're underemployed, okay? And I'm sure, I believe I have some of you listeners out there, and even the person that called in, that I remember mentioning something about that and I'd want to elaborate a little bit further. See, here we go. Let me just finish this off, and then I'm going to get your comments, okay? The problem of unemployment and underemployment is facing Americans and citizens of other countries. See, it's not just America. We make a big mistake by thinking it's just America, but it's all over the world. The media is reporting a global recession. Global, my friends. That means everybody's being affected, and that's not painting a promising future. But we hope by the end of these two episodes that we're going to feel a more promising future. Hopelessness is being experienced by many with college degrees, as well as those with no high school diploma or GED. It's just a little worse for them. But it's still that same hopelessness. The closing of schools, college programs closing, work training programs closing, this would lead us to believe that teachers are being laid off. But you know what? Contrary to popular belief, teachers are not really teachers. The academic teachers are not really experiencing the unemployment blues as much as adult students. That's right. I know you hear about the school closings, but the teachers are actually able to make lateral moves to other school districts, and they're not having a high unemployment rate, not according to statistics, but they are many times underemployed, okay? So this is a major research study that I've been looking at with the Department of Labor, the United States Department of Labor, and it reveals that teachers under public school systems are not facing severe unemployment rates as many had thought. Therefore, we're going to ask teachers, especially college faculty, to use their wisdom and show empathy, and compassion for students and parents who may be dealing with finding jobs, trying to make schedules fit, and pay for tuition and books in this economy. Can you imagine? Students, adult students, sometimes with 2 and 3 and 4 kids trying to get to school every day, trying to take buses. Maybe their car's broken down and they're trying to take a bus to get to a class and then get on that bus again, pick up their kid at the child care center, drop their child off, then get back on the bus again, get to work, then get back on the bus again. Did you get tired already? Because they are. They're tired. And by the time they get home and get everybody fed and in the bed, then they start to hit those books. I think they feel like they want to punch the books, okay? when I say that, I mean they want to open those, they have to open those books, and then they have to study and do homework for the next day. And many of them are not working at their full potential. Boy, we've got a lot to talk about today. Do we not, Dr. Polnitz? We got a lot to cover, don't we?
Yes, indeed we do.
Wow. Well, where do we start from here? Where do you want to come in at? Wow.
That's a tough question now.
I'm telling you. I don't know. You know, you deal with students too, and I know you teach in the community college sector, and you're dealing with the same type of student profile that I do. And we see it all the time. And we have that beautiful model student that might come in and they're working at, I'll just throw one out, Verizon. They're working at Verizon in the call center or any, maybe I shouldn't mention one company or another, but, and they're doing great, okay? The schedule's fine. They signed up for the right classes. And all of a sudden, the job starts to downsize. Schedules change. They come to me and they say, Professor Applewhite, my schedule changed. I can't make it to class on this day at this time. Can I still stay in your class? And here it is, half of the semester is over, and you know this student has really tried hard. Sometimes they even lose their job. Now what do? They lose their job, and so they have to come back and basically crawling into the classroom tired because they're trying to make up that same salary by working additional hours and weekends. How do we keep them motivated and encourage them? I've got a formula. I've got a 5P formula that I want to share with our listeners today. You want me to throw it out there and then we'll come back to this, come back to you?
Well, you know, I'd like to just say,
okay,
right on the top of my head right now, as far as that goes with the students and the jobs, and I was in our largest conglomerate department stores.
I'm
not going to mention any names, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there yesterday. And I just went in to visit my bank that's in that location. And while I was waiting in line, I looked around at the people who were the cashiers and just working in that facility.
Mm-hmm.
And facility pays minimum wage. And we have people that I personally know that work in this largest grocery and, you know,
supermarket, retail, right, yes, outlet in the world, it's definitely,
retail, okay? Mm-hmm. And these people have degrees. You talk about being underemployed, they have degrees. However, in this particular day and age with the economy facing the downturn and it being depressed, our mental thoughts are that the economy is depressed and we have to take the positions in order to feed our family and to order ourselves. However, as I look around, I have to keep in mind this too will change. This
That's
country
right.
and the world has gone through great depressions. And when I think about the Great Depression that happened, I believe it was 30s and 40s, in the 40s, where people literally were standing in the food line to get food because they had nothing to eat. And I equate the people who just had to work in the fields and just menial jobs in order to feed their families. This has happened before. And I'm saying the super store is akin to working at menial job where you just have to do whatever you have to do in order to feed your family. But the bright side, get that education, stay in school, do what you have to do because it will change. It has changed over the years. It keeps going in a cycle. We have these cycles. And so I say, don't give up. It looks bleak, but as long as you, like they say, if you get knocked down, if you can look up, you can get up. So just keep getting up and keep fighting.
If you can look up, you can get up. That's great.
You can look up, you can get up.
That is wonderful. Well, we ask our listeners and anyone that's called in, if you'd like to join on our radio show this morning, via internet or phone, please make sure you call in at 1-646-727-3758 so you can join us on the radio show live, the student-to-teacher radio show, and you can give your comments today on tips for the unemployed and underemployed in our beautiful nation. And I totally agree with you, Dr. Polnitz, on the factor that we have to keep a positive attitude. And that's one of the P's that I want to share with people this morning. I told you I had a 5P formula, and I definitely want to share that with everyone today. So all those that are calling in online or via telephone to the White Apple Institute office, we're going to have to close that line and ask that you call in at 1-646-727-3758 if you'd like to come on to the radio show. And I will be free after 11 o'clock for personal calls on one-on-one counseling before the actual Psychology 101 students come on from Gateway Community College on Skype line. So we encourage you to call in between those hours. All right, let me give you the 5 P's, okay? Ready for the 5 P's? All right, I know some of you like to write down stuff, and I will repeat this. And remember again that if you miss anything on the show, our show's archived, and so you can come back in and listen to the show again to pick up information or to share it with someone who might need a few tips on how to maintain a positive attitude throughout this tremendous crisis. It is a crisis at this moment, but what appears to be a crisis right now doesn't have to be a crisis in the future, as Dr. Polnitz was just saying to us, is that we have to hang in there. We have to hold on to the roller coaster of life so that when you're going down, you hold on, and when you're going up, you hold on, okay? But life is full of those ups and downs, and they're going to be there. But I promise you that following these 5 P's may help a little bit. The 5 P's are patience, peace, positivity, pay, and perseverance. Patience, my friends, is extremely important during this time. We don't want to miss the opportunity to exercise our patience. What does patience mean? I know there's your biblical scripture. I believe it's biblical, but certainly it's within every culture I've heard, is that patience is a virtue. It is something beautiful to hold on to when you can express or exercise patience in your life. The ability to wait for something to happen, to have faith that it's going to happen, and to be able to relax during the process of it. That's true patience, my friends. Patience is not exercising anxiety while you're waiting for that outcome, for that to reach that goal. It's having the peace, the next P, having the peace to go forward and relax a little bit and know. You have to know within you that this is going to be over. Because if you immerse yourself in the factor that I'm going to continue to be unemployed, I'm going to continue to be underemployed, if you continue with that kind of dialogue with yourself, you're going to get lower and lower into this hole, and it's going to be harder to dig yourself out. Please don't do it. Dr. Ponis advised us, don't give up. Don't give up. Get yourself involved in things. I know sometimes it's hard to get going and go to school. My goodness, what do I want to go to school for? And I'm unemployed. I don't have the proper job, or my schedule's all crazy. There's all kinds of classes you can take. There's online classes that you can get into, and you can do that on a Saturday morning. You can actually go to a college campus, a community college campus on Saturday morning and just take one class and keep yourself involved. Keep yourself in the swing of things and maintain peace while you're walking around today. After you finish this show this morning, take a walk and just look at the beauty of the sky and the trees, wherever you are on this beautiful planet. Look around yourself. Look at your environment and feel the peace of what's all around you. Exercise the patience. I don't know if the student from Nigeria is listening right now, but if you are listening out there, my friend, know that I know you're striving to come to America to study here, and many other people that are calling in on the line that are holding there and waiting to come on live. But I encourage you, please, to have patience with yourself and find peace in waiting for an opportunity. Sometimes the opportunity is not necessarily in the United States. Sometimes it might be in your own backyard. Don't be fooled by thinking it's always across the water. The next P is remaining positive, positivity. Now, that's a tough one, but how do you do that effectively when everything around you seems so negative? It seems, that may be the word, that may be the key, it seems negative. Maybe what we need to do is look at what we think is so negative and what seems negative to us and see if there's a positive that we can pull out of that. All right, we're underemployed. Since I want to focus so much on that, that's my passion right now, because we know that unemployment, that's got to change, okay? But we go from unemployment many times to underemployment, and still that doesn't help us. Sometimes that's even more, more demeaning if we allow it to be, to our character, because now we're working, but we're not working at our full potential. But don't let that get you down. Remain positive by looking at positive things in your environment. How do you do that? Well, I know a woman who she couldn't afford anything else but ramen noodles. That's it. She said, Apple, ramen noodles are 10 packages for $1, and that's all my kids and I ate for 2 weeks, and my two dogs and my cat. I said, what? Your dog and your cat? Yeah. She said, I fixed ramen noodles, and I maintain a positive attitude about it. I sliced up tomatoes, and I put it on the plate on top of the ramen noodles and made a pretty, pretty display. I I cut up the bread and I put a nice display on the table so that we could sit down and eat as a family. And the dogs and the cats, they just joined in. The flavor was there. Everybody was hungry. And by the time we finished, we were all full. And she has two kids, by the way. And she's going to school. She was going to school before she became unemployed. Then she became unemployed. And now she is working, but she's underemployed right now. So she's not making a lot of money at all. Nothing like what she made 2 years ago. So she's been going through this for about 2 years. What a wonderful positive attitude on some of the very basic things that we need, like food. Wow. If you could do that with food, then maybe you can do that with clothing. Maybe you can find ways to put together a little bit of money here and there to go down to a Goodwill or a Savers, or I don't know the different names of different thrift shops outside of the United States, but I'm sure that you can find something, or ask relatives for clothes. That's one thing we've got. That should have been one of the other P's about pride. We got to get rid of this pride thing when we're going through this. It just doesn't exist. We don't even want it in our vocabulary. Because that ego will make you sink down and think that things are so hopeless and there's nobody you can ask. I promise you, go and knock on somebody's door. Knock on somebody's door and say, listen, I'm underemployed or unemployed right now, but I'm going to get back on my feet because I believe that this economy is going to change. From a worldwide perspective, it is going to change. We must believe that. What else do you want to believe? Do you want to believe that we're going to just give up and that it's always going to be this way? That doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me want to get up in the morning. The next P is pay. What kind of pay are you really looking for? Be realistic with yourself. Sit down. You've already exercised the patience. You found some way to bring peace into your life and to maintain a positive attitude. Now we want to figure out how this pay issue can fit in. Because this is the reality. This is being practical. Right, Dr. Polnitz? You've got to live on what you make.
Right.
Okay? Now, I know, you know, we may be used to making enough to pay for the cable and buy our children certain things for their birthdays and holidays and that kind of thing, and feeling a real big slump in that. But we've got to live with what we have. If you're, a machinist. I have a young lady that's a machinist, and she used to make $18 to $20 an hour. I think she said $20 an hour was her last job. Now she's making $8 an hour, and she's cleaning floors. Okay, talk about being underemployed. It's aggravating her. And then she's trying to take care of another family member. She has to live within her pay. She recently just got it. Okay, I can't fix my car, so I've got to take the bus. I can't pay for two phones, so now I'm going to only pay for one. Okay? I'm going to drop my cable and just watch DVDs. And she said she hooked up the VHS machine so that she could, her and her other family member could watch videos, old videos. And that's how she's going to do it for a few more months until the economy changes for her. So pay is a big thing. Learn how to budget yourself. It's a different lifestyle now until this thing changes, and it will change. And the last P is perseverance. Hang in there. I remember when I first saw that hang in there slogan, and I think it was a cat or something, maybe like a Garfield cat, and he was hanging on to a ledge or something, okay? And it said hang in there. That was my first vision of a hang in there. But I could see people hanging in there, clawing at the cliffs of life, just clawing there and hanging on so they wouldn't fall. I encourage you to do the same. Don't give up. You will get out of this. We will get out of this. As a nation in America, we are known, at least in our past, as one of the strongest nations. So I know that there'll be a turnaround here, and that always causes a domino effect throughout the world. when some of the strongest leaders, Europe, comes on board, Western Europe, and we start seeing change happening in our economy. Okay, now I've given you these five P's. Now I know we've got to have some feedback now. I'm going to go to our 216 caller. And Dr. Pona, stand by if you can. I know that you're in and out for us right now, but gosh, I appreciate you hanging in there through that little lecture discussion thing there. The 216 here, do you have anything to say?
No, not really, just listening.
Okay. No comments yourself on, you know anyone that's underemployed?
Yes, I do know someone that's unemployed. Quite a few, but as myself, I am underemployed.
What do you mean when you say underemployed?
Well, currently I am working as a caregiver, but I went to school and I am a registered medical assistant and a registered phlebotomist, but yet I cannot find a job in my field.
Wow. Wow. And is there any particular reason that you think, it's the economy?
I believe so, because I've put my name out there quite a few, like I've casted a large net.
Uh-huh.
So I'm out there, and it's like I'm getting, some catches are getting.
Uh-huh.
But then I believe they don't want to hire me because they know, like, I'm settling for less. Like, that whole thing of being overqualified.
Oh, wow. We didn't even think about addressing that. Thank you for bringing that out. Wow. Overqualified. How do you sit down with someone and know that probably through this job interview that you're going to have that someone might think that you are overqualified. Dr. Polnitz, do you have anything to add to that? Wow.
Absolutely. I experienced the same thing myself. I'm presently, self-employed. However, my love for teaching has driven me to look deeper into teaching in a public institution.
Uh-huh.
I adjunct faculty, but, full-time. And I have found that just in my experiences of looking at different areas that I would like to use my services in, besides contracting with individuals, I find that being overqualified is definitely there. I did speak with some individuals about a position that was somewhat something that I did about 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And see that because of the doctorate degree, that they were very hesitant to even speak to me because the people who would be my direct supervisor did not have the degrees. And so I find that is happening, which it's okay. That's just how life is. That's how people are.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of chuckle and say, the position that I put my personal energy into, I must focus on that particular position.
Uh-huh.
And hold. Don't let it go. Don't give up on it. Have patience. Have joy. Have peace in my heart about it, because it's just a matter of time before I reach the same point where that position is.
Okay.
And I look at it very, 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 very happily, because I know it's going to happen. I know in my spirit that I will get exactly what I want.
Well, I'd like to explore the term overqualified. You know, first up, if you're qualified for a position, that, of course, that's what the employer wants, okay? But overqualified, I had to look up the definition of overqualification, and it's like it's a state of being skilled or educated beyond what is necessary for a job, okay? And so most jobs spend a lot of money, most companies spend a lot of money training employees, okay? And this could be a real problem for professionals applying for a job like yourself and the other young lady who spoke, Malvina, for professionals applying for a job where they significantly exceed the job requirements, because potential employers may feel they are using the position as a stepping stone Okay? So now I've got to put out money to train you, and then you're going to leave, and you just want a paycheck for a couple of months. So overqualified people candidates may seem as taking the position temporarily, gain a little work experience, and until better employment opportunities come along. But, okay, it may be in the company's greater interest to reject the job candidate at first, but then I believe that the job candidate has a responsibility, knowing that they're overqualified for the position, to come in and talk about their loyalty. I think loyalty is a very big key, all right? Especially if you've had a background of staying with companies, if you've got a good background of at least 5 years with a company, I think you should expound on that and talk about the factor that you just don't take a job and leave it. You give the employer the best you can do, and I think that's a good idea to come in with when you're in that job interview situation. But before you even get there, how do you get the interview when you're overqualified? That's a good one, huh? I mean, your resume is going to scream out overqualified. And maybe that's the key. You know, your resume, it's supposed to be a seller. It's supposed to dangle a carrot to make someone want to talk to you. And many times we miss that point. And we assume that the resume is supposed to be this autobiography of our life. No one wants to read an autobiography, and you haven't sparked their interest yet. Spark their interest by putting in something about that company that relates to that particular job description, first off. Make it short and sweet, a one-page description of your related. Now, get that word now, related job qualifications that relates totally to that job, and leave it there. Then when you get into the position, when you get that interview, then you can expound, because you're going to fill out an application anyway, and you're going to have to put down the history of your jobs, but not on the resume, because that definitely will scream out overqualified. Just put on what's necessary. People say, well, isn't that lying? No. No, it's not lying at all. A resume, again, is a selling tool. So you're selling what you can do for that company. Don't forget that, all right? So let's change our resumes to reflect exactly what we can do for that company, and go in with a dialogue ready to have a conversation with that employer about what you can do for him or her and the loyalty that you're going to show and have shown in your past. Overqualified, remember this, that first you had to be qualified for the position. You get that one? Everybody got that? You had to be qualified. And then how do you become overqualified? Well, you did a great job with your life. You went to school and you moved up the ladder of success. Don't kick yourself for it, and don't allow anybody else to. It's great that you're overqualified, isn't it? It sure is a lot better than being the other way, underqualified. So let's change our resumes. Let's change the way we present ourselves, and let's change the attitude. Hello. The attitude to knowing that we are certainly, and we want to go in as overqualified. Of course we're overqualified. What would you want me to be, Mr. Johnson or Mrs. Brown, in your human resource department? I meet your needs. I can do this job. And you know what? You don't have to spend a lot of money training me. Give them some positives. Give them something that they can resist you for. Okay? You don't have to spend a lot of money training me. I'm ready to go. Yes, I know that. And my loyalty says, I'm going to be with you. I'm not looking for a temporary position at this point. I hope that I can be a contributing factor in your company and grow within your company. One thing employers don't want to hear or don't want to feel is that you're going to come in and just work and take from them and then go and give their goods or their investment to another person. And you know what? That goes with anything in life. That makes sense, Malvina, our caller on 216?
Yes,
did that
makes
help?
Yes, it
okay.
does.
I hope that helps out a little bit. Because,
it did.
Go ahead.
Yes, it opened my eyes to aspects that I hadn't thought of.
Mm-hmm. Good. And I bet you are a very loyal person, aren't you?
I am, because I give what I put out. I put out what I want to receive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm loyal. Yes, I do.
Right. And then what we need to do then is project that loyalty onto the stage, because that's what you're on. When you walk into that interview, actually, the minute you get out of that car in your parking lot, you're entering the stage.
Yes.
You don't know who's watching you walking from that parking lot. I used to say that so many times to so many of my students. They say, well, what do you mean, Apple? Nobody's watching out the window. You have no idea who's
that
watching. Dr. Polis, tell me, have you ever gone into a restroom and in that restroom area somebody's on a cell phone and they're talking the most vulgar language possible, okay? They put the cell phone away, and they don't know who was in that bathroom stall listening to them or washing their hands right beside them. Walk into the office, and lo and behold, it was the interviewer. Okay? Woo! Okay? So you can
you
come
know,
in there.
I have actually had something similar to that happen
mm-hmm.
when I was doing interviewing for a number of the large companies here in the valley, and I was in the bathroom, and there was someone in there talking about they just wanted the job because they just needed something right now, and they never leave in town, and that's why they were there interviewing. And I listened, and I walked out, and when they came in to the interview, they saw me, and they didn't know what they were, just speechless. And then the whole interview was them trying to take back what they had said. But it was too late. They said that they just wanted a temporary job. And this was a permanent job. So I went through the steps of the interview process because that's what I have to do.
Right.
And then in the space where it says comments, interviewer comments, I related the incident and passed it on. So you're absolutely right. You have no idea.
Right.
Who's in that stall next to you, or who's just standing there looking out the door as you're walking
right.
up, as you're getting out of your car.
That's right.
And walking in.
Right. Exactly.
You have no idea.
And you know,
right.
so many people will try to talk to the receptionist as if the receptionist is, sometimes the receptionist is the interviewer. Because many
yes.
times how that receptionist sees you when you walk in the door, she's going to relate that to the employer. Okay,
I have gone out and asked my receptionist different questions
mm-hmm.
about that person.
Yes,
so you're right.
Absolutely,
we're on the stage all the time. We're believe it or not, even if you're not at the employer site,
right,
you have to be careful of where you are and what you're saying. You always have to be careful of what you're saying.
Right.
You have to be credible
mm-hmm.
in all aspects of your life because. You don't know, there's, what do they say, 6 degrees of separation?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You
right.
You don't know who knows who.
Right, exactly. Well, I'll tell you something. I am very, very impressed by what you shared with us this morning, and I want to make sure that we have time to get everybody in, and I haven't missed anyone in our queue right now. Because I'm really very, very impressed with what's been said already about this overqualification issue and the fact that I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable that if I missed coming online with them, please call back in again so that we can make sure that we get your comment. But there's different reasons why people have to leave our show, and we appreciate that they even sign up and come on. It takes effort on a Saturday morning to do that. But I hope that in some way that we have a change of attitude, a change of heart in the way that we look at things, especially this underemployment issue. that we not only see ourselves in a better place in the future, but that in the present moment that we're able to grab onto what we see in the mirror. Look in the mirror at yourself and see what other people are seeing. Talk to yourself. Now, I know that sounds funny. What do you mean? Gosh, Professor, are you telling us to talk to ourselves and answer yourself back? Yeah. But I want you to start talking to yourself and explain who you are in the mirror. Talk about you. Talk about you as if you're sitting in front of that employer and look at your body language. If you can't convince yourself that you need to come out of that underemployed tent, that category, then you can't convince anyone else. So step back for a moment and do some of your own homework, because that's important. We have another caller online right now. Thank you. Hold on a minute. This is calling in from, it looks like a 702 area. I think that's Las Vegas phone. Hello?
Hello. Hi, Apple. Actually, it's Sherry, but I'm still using my Las Vegas cell phone number.
Well, we appreciate
it. How are you doing today?
Any calls from Las Vegas or Thailand or wherever, just call on in. We have people that call in from everywhere. Well, we appreciate you joining us this morning, Sherry. You've been on the line for a while, and I'm glad that you called back in again. Do you have any comments about, we've talked about so many things this morning, but it's all led back into this underemployment, unemployed situation. And I wanted to take this a different take than just to, you know, sitting here and talking about statistics. We can turn on the television set any given time of the day and hear what our dear President Obama has to say about unemployment and so many other people. I didn't want the show to be about statistics and about the general status of unemployment. I wanted to talk about it from a different perspective of attitude. And I wanted to share those 5 P's. Did you hear the 5 P's? Were you able to
say? I've really enjoyed what I've been listening to far, and it's, you know, very inspirational because I'm unemployed right now in one area of my life.
Fortunately,
I have another business I do, so that's saving my sanity right now.
So you're self-employed? You're self-employed?
Yeah, I have another business that I do, and that's, you know, really saving the day here. But, you know, what you said, about, you know, just hanging in there and all that in your resume, what I heard on TV about a week or two ago really interested me, because we all know if you can get the interview, there's a chance you can get the job. But, and I've always interviewed well, and, you know, that was wonderful in the past. But try to get an interview and get in anymore. So what I heard that I thought was really interesting on the news was that these companies now have computers that go through the resumes, because they're getting so many.
Yes.
That, you know, this computer does it. They're not even looking at it in personnel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that to take words out of the ad, because what that computer's looking for is the same words that are in the ad, and
right,
incorporate them into the resume, and will pull your resume out.
Wonderful.
And so I thought, wow. So since then, because sometimes I've had them kick back so fast, even I thought before I heard that on the news, they couldn't have looked at it that fast, and I have some of these qualifications. So
mm-hmm.
I figure, like one of the big corporations I applied for, probably the computer was reading it and kicked it back. And if I don't have the same thing, so if you can just go into your resume and pull a few words out of the ad and then put it into the resume, they say the computer will pull it out or recognize it. And I thought, wow, that's like really important right now.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to try that one.
Absolutely, and I strongly recommend it, as I was saying a little earlier. The resume is key when we talk about, you know, the selling tool itself. You know, we talked about being overqualified for positions, but we got to get into the interview first. And so you don't want to appear overqualified on your resume. So you want to use those same, and we call them keywords, that's the, or key phrases that the computer
right.
is actually looking for. And strangely enough, we that same software that you're talking about, we use it in the college setting to determine plagiarism, which is whether or not a student is using words and phrases from another paper that's already been written. So it's actually...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yes, yes. So we can pick up and we can determine whether a student is actually using, copying somebody else's work, and we can actually trace what work it's from. That's right.
Wow.
And so the employers now, they've developed that same software into a human resource component where it actually picks up keywords and phrases that you enter in, and you're looking for people that have read the job description and know a little bit about your company. I mean, do you
right.
know how many people just send out the same resume all the time? Most people do. They send out the same identical resume to, you know, hundreds of employers. And it's the same.
I know I was.
Okay. Doesn't work. Doesn't work, especially if you have a different objective. Each job has an objective, and you have an objective listed on your resume. Your objective should be matching what the employer that you're sending it to is asking for. Okay? So, and that objective cannot be that general one that says, looking for a job to improve my skills, looking for a job to enhance my experience and my knowledge. Okay, I mean, those are the most common errors that people make, because what they're looking for is, I'm looking for a job specifically, whatever that job description says it is. That's what your objective should be on that resume. So you don't have to change the body of it where you're listing the related, and please remember that word, related qualifications. Okay, so make sure related
mm-hmm.
work history, related job history, however you want to name it, but it should be related so that the employer doesn't think you're leaving out things when you do fill out the application, but you're only putting in what relates to the actual job description that they want now, because that's how they determine, I want to see this person. That's what you want them to do. You want them to say, I want to see her. Wow, look at this. She matches what we're looking for.
Right.
So I hope that
another thing that I heard that I thought was really pertinent is, you know, so many people right now are networking and getting jobs through people. So I'm telling everybody I know, if I'm just walking my dog, I run into someone, I tell them I'm looking for a job. And
uh-huh.
I have two leads now and two people that I think are going to help me. So, so that's something I also heard, and I'll let you know how it all works out.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I just wanted to – are you still there? Hello?
Yes.
Right. I just
Hello?
Want,
yeah.
Yes. I wanted to say, listeners, do you mind, Cher, if I just introduce a little bit about what you're going to be doing in the future with the Student to Teacher radio show?
Oh, no, I'd love it. I just was having such a good time with the show. I wanted to stay on topic, but that's nice. That's wonderful.
Well, I just wanted to let all of you know that Sherry Schwab is coming on board with White Apple Institute as one of our advisors, and she will be closing the show as she schedules, and doing something about healthy minds can make healthy bodies. And she is an up-and-coming master herbalist. She is a certified herbalist in her field and self-employed. And we're hoping that that's going to help a lot of our listeners out there to find ways and means to keep your mind healthy, even through the crisis that we're talking about right now, because she has some great, great ways that we can relax ourselves and become more focused on our peace and our patience in our life
with aromatherapy and different oils and that kind of thing. And I think, Dr. Ponitz, you do something very similar to that also with nutrients. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Ponitz, I know you're a network specialist.
Yes.
You're an educator. Of course, you're an educator first. And then you have your own company. You're self-employed yourself. You have your own company that tell us a little bit about that. I don't want to say the wrong thing here.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. I have you on mute because I have a little one running around making a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
But,
that's okay.
You're correct. I am involved in the nutrition, natural nutrition for the body, all natural. And myself, I will only engage in things that are healthy. Hold on 1 second, please.
Yes. No problem. No problem at all. And Sherry, that's going to be a good person to work with is Dr. Ponitz, and hopefully we can connect both of you through White Apple Institute, and maybe you can come up with some great things for our students and teachers out here so that they can come out with better healthy minds and hopefully looking at healthy bodies, because that's so
important. Right.
You know, I mean.
Oh, there's so much stress right now that it's so essential to keep yourself healthy. Because stress does change the body, and it even changes the chemicals in the brain, and we're all under a lot of stress right now. So, yeah, I'd love it, and I'd love connecting with everybody.
Wonderful.
Okay. I'm back now. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Speaking of stress, one of the products that I take daily myself is called Hemphoria, and it's a stress reliever, and also there's another one called Versativa. Inspirin, and what it does is it relieves the stress, eases the pain, and these are all natural products so that they don't have any chemicals at all in it, but it's using the natural fruits, vegetables, and herbs that grow naturally out of the ground and organically.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that I've recently gone through some great depression and despair over the loss of a loved one, and this has really helped me a lot to maintain my focus and to get back into the world and be active again and to promote the healthy way of living to people, which is something I love doing. I do it every day. And to also be in the educational arena. And I thank you so much, Dr. Applewhite, for having me on the show. Wasn't that a nice slip for the tongue, Professor Applewhite? I love it. It was real, you know. You put things out there and they do happen. That was real.
Right.
Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, and I look so forward to meeting with Sherry, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting
you.
We're going to come up with more great ideas to get our listeners through. I hope these tips for being unemployed and underemployed will be helpful for you. Remember those 5 P's of patience, peace, positivity. Make sure to pay is on your mind and you're budgeting to make sure that you accept the job with the right pay to cover your bills. And perseverance, hang in there, okay? Those 5 P's are so important. And in addition to that, making sure that you minimize the stress in your life by the things that you do. Any other things that you've heard today on the show, you can always contact White Apple Institute at 480-471-8082. Or you can always chat with me, write into the show, and we'd love to hear from you. We thank Nazim Rashid, who follows our show on the Reconnected show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we thank him very much for the music that he has provided for us. God bless you. Much love and peace until we talk again on blogtalkradio.com, Students Teacher Show. This is Professor Applewhite wishing you again much love and peace. Thank you, Nazi. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.